מידת חושם, אכילותו שאינו מאושר, משמשותו נידה ולוקותו בחווה, ונותר שאינו מקיים. באיזו דת יהודית? יולטו בראש הפרוע וטוב הקשוק ומדברת בכל אדם, etc. We find that there are two categories of women who forfeit their ksuba. One is the woman who violates Das Moshe, and one is the woman who violates Das Yehudis. Rashi, Das Yehudis, Shenoagu Benos Yisrael, the Af Al Gav, the Lo Ksit, Benoteh Shen and Mekayem. Beidu Das Yehudis, Yotav Rosh HaParua, Vetov HaKashuk, Umedaveret Mekolodam, etc. We find that there are two categories of women who forfeit their ksuba. One is the woman who violates Das Moshe, and one is the woman who violates Das Yehudis. Rashi, Das Yehudis, Shenoagu Benos Yisrael, the Af Al Gav, the Lo Ksiva, critical Rashi. Rashi defines Das Yehudis as which the Jewish women customarily observe, even though it's not written anywhere in the book. Fine. Says the Gemara on the bottom, last two lines. Vezu Midas Yehudis, Yosef Rosh HaParua. Says the Gemara, and here's the most important line in the entire sugya is this. Rosh HaParua, Doraisahi, the Sibu Farah es Rosh HaIsha. Tanat Rabbi Shmuel as Hara of Nos Yisrael for Yetzib Perua Rosh. Period. This is the question. How can you tell me that a woman who goes Perua Rosh, which means her hair uncovered, is in violation of Das Yehudi? It's a graphic defined as a minig Nos Yisrael, which is not found anywhere in the Kumbh. What are you talking about? If she goes with the hair uncovered, she's in violation of a Doraisa. As he says in the Kumbh, Upora as Rosh HaIsha, Parsha Sosa, the time of Rabbi Shmuel, here, as Paral of Nos Yisrael, Shlo Yetzir, and Surah Rosh, finish. It's an Issa Min HaTorah for a woman who's married to go with her hair uncovered. Come on, Purisha Gemara. How did Gemara see it in the Pasuk? The Rashi has 2 days. Last Rashi and the Dach. Well, last 2 Rashi and 4. So Raisa Hi, Vamaylo Kori Lo Das Moshe. Why are you calling it Das Yehuda? It's full of Das Moshe. What example of Das Moshe found in the Mishnah? Let's remember what they are. What are they? She feeds and trays for food. She lives with them without going to the mikveh. That's Besma. She doesn't take his challah properly. So she's against feeding and trays. She's no deres and mekayemet, which we learned last week to cause the death of their children. In other words, she's done something. She's done something which goes against the fundamentals of the marital relationship. She'd undermine the whole marriage. Because if she's gonna feed her straight some food, she's gonna not go to the mikveh, if she's gonna cause their children to die, you know, these are fundamentals of marriage, you know? Right? One of the fundamentals of marriage is that the husband has to eat, right? He wants to live with his wife, the heather, and he wants to have children who should live. All those 3 things are part of marriage. If you're missing one of those 3 things, you really part of the same marriage. So she's undermined it. And as a result, we say that it's your charity. As a result, we say that she's forfeited her ksuba. So too, the Gemara seems to imply that Rashi, if she goes to the street with her hair uncovered, she's in violation of Das Moshe. Why is that a chiddush? Or both say, why is that Rashi a tremendous kiddush? By the way, who else is like Rashi? Who else is like Rashi? You saw it. The Rambam, correct. The Rambam says that if a woman goes with her hair uncovered in the street, this was a violation of what we call Das Moshe. As a result, she goes to Pulot Subah. The Rambam, for those who want to look it up, in the Hilchos Ishus, Teretz of Dalit, Eilu hein advarim shim yosef acha mehen arva al das Moshe halach yir alef yosef b'shuk b'sarosha golui. She goes with her hair revealed in the street, in the marketplace, the violation of das Moshe. This is the opinion of Rashi and the Rambam. Why is it a chiddush something? And of course, it's a chiddush, you know the next step is. Oh, David knows me well enough. He knows every hint of it. It was a chiddush that I'm trying to drive and someone can argue with it. Right? So in my argument, it's not that Moshe. Who, David? Now the next step. Maybe you can put them out who? Me who Hashem lo libo lasos kein. The fight with Rashi and the Rambam. Who? Poor. Correct. Poor. Could be the Rosh. Could usually follow the Rosh. Contents of the Shulchan Aruch. In those books, you don't find that this idea of a woman who goes over the hair and some of the emulation without smoke. But let me ask you, why should it? Use your own head. Why, in your opinion, should it be considered Das Moshe? And why should it not be considered Das Moshe? Yes? Oh, the one I think that's a monopoly. It's not the fairest of the Torah. Master. We'll come to that later. We already mentioned it a long time ago. We'll get to that later. But assume it's in the Torah. Assume it's an absolute Torah prohibition. Assume it. Still, I want you're going to guess what I'm saying. You give me a reason why, even if it's a Torah prohibition, it should not be considered a violation of Das Moshe. Give me a guess, Hashem, please, first. No? Uriah?
He said Das Moshe is only stuff that undermines the family.
That's it? It's only stuff, to quote that Uriah, it's stuff that undermines the family, that breaks up the marriage. If she feeds and trades, she can't go on. She visits him as a nida, can't go on. The kids keep dying because of in the ground, can't go on. She goes with the hair uncovered, why can't they go on? Let me ask you a question. What will happen if she eats trace outside the home? Unfortunately, there are many such individuals. If she posts her home, but then they go to the restaurant, you know, they call somebody at the town in Jersey, not far from here, but the rabbi had to speak against people going to the diner. Believe it or not, it was brilliant, shown the shabbat, and they go and eat in the diner. They wouldn't eat. They wouldn't order trace of stuff. They wouldn't order shrimp. But they would order other foods and say, it's, you know, it's, come on, what could be bad about French fries? What could be bad about, you know, so, whatever. So when the rabbi got up and said, you are eating, as far as we know, it can't go guarantees, but you're eating potentially non-kosher food. The woman will say, true, rabbi, you're right. But in the house, I keep a perfectly kosher home. What'd you say? Is she a violation of Das Moshe? Is that grounds of divorce or Ksuba or not? No. All the Rishonim say unanimously no. Why? Because she is not in any way violating the marriage. The house is kept perfectly kosher. Mahadrin min hamahadrin. Kol of Yisrael. Lat kosher. That's a good question. That's a very good question. How could we say that if a woman scrapes outside the house? That the what? That she's not in violation of Das Moshe. But and because in the house she keeps her kosher home, yeah, but how can you rely on her? If you can't rely on her, so in effect the bottom line is the same, even though it's perfectly kosher objectively, but he can't eat it. I never thought of that question. I have to look and see what the Postman say. It's a good question. But the Postman do all say, I believe almost unanimously, that she eats trapes outside the house, or that's a mother violation. I don't know. She I don't know. Maybe she's Mechal Shabbos outside the house. Again, it's a problem of their mother. So different aver. What's the stick of good aver? What do we do? So I think of a good aver. All the big ones are taken away. It can't be a riot. It can't be trade. It can't be Shabbat. It's more to your kasha. Our voters up. No, that's also called a fair. What's a good aver? Give me a good aver.
Zayla.
Okay, he's a shoplifter. So, you know. All right, but you are getting knocked out. Shoplifting? We'll come to that. That's a very good question for now. Maybe we should say that keeping the hair uncovered is difficult because the leech is nuts. What do you say, though? We mentioned before, because the kids are going to drive. I'm going to Durham, going to Mason. No guarantees, though. Yeah. I'm going to Durham, going to Mason. We already saw it, I believe, last week, did we not? We saw the rush to compare Cherem to Neder. Didn't we see that rush last week? Or the week before, even, I think. In the case of the person who was in violation of Kerem, the Rosh Hashanah. I'm quite sure we saw it. But here's the Gemara on the next to the last medium-sized line, and I invade the Manalov. The Gemara says, "Omar Mar, Tavo and the Dorim Bonim Meis Hashanem. I'll bring the speech to Lachy and Sarepo." They take it on the post in Kohelet. Okay, so the post. That doesn't mean they always die. You see many people whose children die. Who don't take the Dorim, and people take the Dorim and don't die. But it's considered a strike against you in terms of the longevity of your children. And that's why it's the right of the divorce. Anyway, so again, now you can understand why one might consider that even if the Torah prohibition for women to go married with a hair uncovered in the street may not be a violation of Das Moshe. Because after all, it's nothing to do with the marriage. It's not like she's feeding straight the food, she's living in the Yitzhadida. She is killing the kids with the dark. No, she has a violation. She's shoplifting, she's stealing, I don't know what else she's doing. She's, what's a good lobby we have out there. That's Moshe becomes specific. There's three examples found. She's a trait. She doesn't go to the mikveh, or she's derech to the mechamet. Only three examples were found. Rashi made a fourth example. She's a big kiddush. But if a woman goes without her hair covered, that's considered a violation of Das Moshe in the street. Whereas, and as the Rambam agrees, that the Torah seems to disagree, as is most likely the Shulchanor. Why do they disagree? So it was said before correctly. That's like she's shoplifting.
So Rashi answers back. No.
So we'll only answer back. The Menachem won't answer back. It's the Lita's Nus. The leeches knows the problem in Akam is that's most likely it's going to be called Das Yehudis. And so the Rush interprets will see soon. The Rush quotes Das Yehudis though. But that's Moshe. We don't find a precedent for that. Yes, Dave, what do you want to say?
Where do we get the distinction that Das Moshe is something that brings from the family? Rashi is
the very essence of that, in other words, Das Moshe.
I have worked from Rashi alone. It's not just anything to write for this problem.
So I asked you a question. I asked you before. What if she eats straight?
Anything to write that involves the marriage.
Says, involved with the marriage.
What is
that
involved with the marriage?
Her reading tape
on
the side is not involved with the marriage.
Her reading side on the
side. Uncovering her hair, say,
it's involved with the marriage.
Why?
It's because she's married, she can't uncover her hair.
That's I think he's right. That's better Rashi and Rambam. But the reason why uncovering the hair is called Das Moshe is because although it doesn't necessarily break up the marriage, but it's a violation which relates to the marriage. In the sense that the violation is engendered by the fact that she's married. A woman, we'll see later, after the subject of a very hot dispute, a woman who is single does not have to cover her hair. Now, if you would hold that a woman who is single has to cover her hair, then your pshat wouldn't work. Right, okay. So we're assuming that for the moment that a woman who's single need not cover her hair. Because she's married. Because she's married, we don't know any reason why. Be patient. I'm sorry. Well, it's a good question. Okay, what about a woman who's divorced? A woman who's widowed? Does she have to cover her hair? Doesn't say anything in the marriage. Not yet. Not up there. So she's no longer in the school. Now she's single. What? Sometimes she talks about it, right? No, not in the Mishnah. Let's go slowly. This song, I'm trying to build this to the bottom up. Okay. Now we come to the main Rashi. And the drama begins to unfold right over here. The last Rashi and I invade them in Al. Azhara. So it's not clear what the source of what the derivation is. It says Rashi, Midavdina lohochi lenavlo. And the fact that we do this to the woman, the sota, to make her a minuvela, how the strength of the navlo. To make her ugly, disgusting. Mida kineged mida. A measure for a measure. As she did, removing her hair covering to be pretty for her adulterous friend, for the fact that we uncover her hair in public, based on Migdosh, to pay her back for the fact that she uncovered her hair in the presence of her boy, we're taking off her hair, taking off her head covering in the presence of the Boel, is prohibited. Now, of course, once they had beers, it's a much worse prohibition. That's a prohibition which is kind of Misa for. But, as the Vilna Gaon, I think I mentioned to you last week, the Gaon said that men totally non-observant individual. He's told not only going to be punished for Shabbos, for basic, if you don't wash the Kiddush Adayin, you're punished for that too. Not only is the woman punished for the ultimate act of adultery, but she's punished because half an hour before she committed adultery, she had took off her shekel. So for that, she also is going to get punished. And if she would have stopped there, she would have taken off her shekel, and then let's say the husband would have come back, wore the ring. Can you imagine if they're about to do adultery, the shekel is off, maybe more is off, I don't know what's going on exactly, and then the doorbell rings. Honey? Oh. These cadavers out the back door, they left their servants and stopped and stepped on the door, which you talk about. So has she done only a machshava roah, or has she already been in violation the minute she took her head covering off? So the Rashi got the impression, the minute she took off the head covering, she's already been in violation. And therefore, since she committed that violation, we are going to somehow make her feel as a novella, put her into dusting kind of a state, by removing her head covering and public in the Beit HaMikdash. That's the first Kriyat Rashi. Yes? If any question you want, I don't have to answer.
we saw by Subhadari Sudarabhana, the Ramban has said that when it says tomorrow Sula, it doesn't mean that Sula is 20 Midaraisa, rather that was the minimum at the time.
The Mishkan of Melech was that. The Ramban said the same. Ooh! He flunked. Come a little closer. I'm trying to hear my voice.
Ramban said it twice too much.
Ramban said the case of Mizonos. Very important, Ramban. Ramban said that, the Ramban said, that when it says in the Torah that a man is required to support his wife, as you see, it doesn't cause it to be yotza, oh, it's so remote, causing the parts of the shvot. It doesn't mean it's an absolute obligation to support his wife, it means it's a minimic. It's a minimic which exists in that.
Why wouldn't the same type of argument apply here?
Oh, but David has a wild and woolly and wacky suggestion. He says, wait a minute. Maybe Chayim the Gemara does not mean that the prohibition for a woman who's married to uncover her hair. Maybe all the Torah is doing is recording a custom which exists in the Ma'amatan Torah that women who are married cover their hair.
The Gemara is not saying that for sure.
Why is the Gemara saying that?
What does it mean?
That's enough to see how obvious that is. Not so simple. Maybe the word Doraita means exactly what you said. Suba Doraita means that. The Zonos Doraita means that. Maybe. So maybe it also means that maybe.
But if it's not Das Moshe, so what do the Rosh Hashanah hold that Gemara means?
No, Uri. Doesn't have to be Das Moshe. It could be neither Das Yehudis nor Das Moshe.
Just so then Doraita means what?
Doraita means Das Yehudis. Look at Rashi in the Mishnah. Das Yehudis Shenagu Benos Yisrael Afagav Delot Siva. This is the son of which is Siva. May not be a less instead of violation of that Moshe as such. Certainly she would lose a tzuba as the Kavachomer from had it been a Das Yehudis not found in the Pasuk, but it may not necessarily fit into the category of Das Moshe. It's neither. It's neither a Das Moshe nor a Das Yehudis. So why should lose a tzuba? Why should we call it Das Yehudis square? Das Yehudis means if it's a Minig Nashim which is not found in the Chumash. Kavachomer, the Minig Nashim is found in the Chumash. It works, but then the question would not be so much that it's called a Das Moshe. Not that it's a Das Moshe. Who doesn't seem to say it's Das Moshe? So what is it? Das Yehudis, but Das Yehudis, which is worse than the regular Das Yehudis. And the implication of the expression Das Yehudis is just not found anywhere in Chumash. Yes, Cynthia? Grand thing, right? Now, what's going on over here? We are making an Isha Sota who may be innocent, mind you. Well, she may be innocent, and apparently she can't be totally innocent to you. Impossible. But the only time that she is innocent, the Nei Sota, and she's been guilty of what? At least what?
Yichud.
At least Yichud. But she's not a tzedekah, in a sense.
It means that she didn't necessarily uncover her hair.
Right. She's the Yaakov, the guy that was sitting in the same film together. Undoubtedly. But do you think any different? And the husband told her, don't go in with this guy Chaim, so you dare go with Chaim. She goes in with, she despite the warning, she then goes in with Chaim in the room, closed, locked, all the shades are drawn. And we assume she's keeping her shekel still on, and she's saying, kill him. That goes to be down the top of the don't we? Yeah. So then how can we then, the CNS, and how can we suddenly take off her shekel? She's an innocent woman, it's the bacon. Oh, but okay, I was dramatizing it. But she says, who cares that it's an issue that she's played with this? She did an Aveira. So we make her do an extra Aveira. An extra Aveira. She really did want to make her do an extra Aveira. Well, presumably, I mean, if the Torah says you have to do it, you have to do it. Do you want to know why would the Torah tell you to do it? That's a good question. That's a good question. Of course, if Meir's chart is correct, that it's not an absolute Torah prohibition, rather it's just something which is a custom which the Torah records and which should be followed, then your question is basically obviated. Yeah, it should be followed, but here's an exception. There's an actual issue like city trade. We don't find anywhere any in the administration of any procedure in Bezdin, in the Mikdash, we don't find a match with someone to do something which is city trade. Hashem Hashem in the same context. We raise Hashem's name, which is ordinarily prohibited in our Torah.
Oh, but that's doing something that's run away after. It's not the same thing as making someone else do something that's not
okay. Okay.
Even if one of the Jewish
goes says
that
not over
on the last motion, you
could
still say that you had
some of the Torah. Oh, for sure. The Torah would say certainly at least as strict as the Yehudit is not found anywhere in the Chumash, that's the Yehudit which is squared. It's found in the Chumash, which is more serious. But I'm just saying the word Das Moshe may not be appropriate. That's the first Tanah Rashi. Second Tanah Rashi. Inami. Midichsiru para Michlau dahu shaita lav tluo habas. You can't kill a dead dog. You can't uncover an uncovered item. So from the fact that the Torah says it's para, he will uncover her here. Her head, it's implied that before that her head was covered. Shmamina, ein derech benos Yisrael lotes kulos rosh v'chein ito. Well, this is a totally different story. Not a question of some kind of violation. She violated a halakha by uncovering her head in the presence of the boy. No, it simply records the fact that if you can't uncover something which was previously uncovered, it must be that the derech of Benos Yisrael, whatever that means, it is the way of Jewish women was not to go with their hair uncovered. Bechenika, why should the second shot better? It sounds a little bit like David Scott, no? A little bit. David Scott was, there's no Yisrael at all, it's just a minute. Derech of Benos Yisrael, the time of the Matan Torah, sounds from Rashi almost like it's almost that way, almost. Yes. Oh, very good. Next question. The Nachas of Chavon to the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon said, the simple shot, this is the Gemara, for those to scroll, single to it. Those to scroll, on the contrary, the word to those, they're the nature, Bat Yisrael. Only if you're married. That was all about the sign. Stand. General usage of the word Bat Yisrael, you know, you're the fool, you're Bat Yisrael. But the Benos Yisrael has a very, what's that, a bad pun? A very general application, which we say should include every Jewish woman. Every Jewish woman. So therefore, why do we restrict it to married women? It doesn't say restrict to married women, by the way. Where does it say that? Where does it say it's restricted to married women? Does it say it over here in the Mishnah? No. In the Gemara? No. No.
He says it for halacha, the Gra?
The Gra says, well, I don't know halacha, but the Gra seems to say, well, I'll give it away. It's not fair to keep you in suspense. The Gra is commenting on the Zinn and Shulchan Aruch, which is on the Maramakom, the Sinn and Chalbal of the day, which is taken from the Rambam. The Rambam is in Hilchot. Not in this one. Okay, it doesn't matter where it is. You'll see Shulchan Aruch. Where the Rambam says, and Shulchan Aruch quotes it, "Lo teilachna benos Yisrael Shruhas Rosh Pashuk, Achat Tanuya, the Achat Eshetish. Rambam says there's no difference between a married woman and a single woman. It says the Goyin, Chaf Aleph today. Says the Goyin, yeah, this is Benot Yisroel, Menachem's point. Menachem's Mechavim to the Goyin of Vilna. Just sits to cover her hair. What's the matter with you? Go home and tell her. You have to cover it. Go, you can see her at the parade. You bring with you a little handkerchief and say, here. I mean, I don't understand. I used to come into the grove. I said the single woman has to cover the hair. I'll give it a punch. We're not finished yet. That's the moment I've wrong stuff. The moment I've wrong was bothered by a terrible contradiction. On the one hand, it shows we're going ahead of ourselves, but I can't help it. That's the way Kadim has questions. We have to go with the flow. So, it's okay. The Rambam has a question. Here it says that the Shavanov, Simchah, Alf, Tavez, and Ebenezer. Achas, Shunyur, Achas, Eshuti, Shunako, Kurul, Kurul, Shunako, the hair uncovered. Whereas it says in Orachayim, my other Simon asks, see if I have to look at with all the Mephoshim, Simon, Ayan, Hay, Tavez, and Orachayim. There it says that the man may not decide to Shema when he's looking at the uncovered hair of a woman, but there the Shulchan says that single women who ordinarily go with the hair uncovered, there's no prohibition. But the contradiction between Ebenezer and Safalas, which says that Achas Tanuya, even a single girl may not go with the hair uncovered, and Orachai Mayan Hay, which says that a single girl may go with the hair uncovered. How do you resolve this clear contradiction? Huh? But you didn't, before the lundus, the fact, is it mutter or is it usher? Oh, David talks to himself. Ooh, wah. Oh. Norm is the father. Unbelievable. No. Norm is the father to a number of gedolim, Gerosham, on the Mepharshim, on the Yerushalmi, on our Sugya, called the Shiyure Karban. Sort of the Karban Ha'edah, the famous Karban Ha'edah on the side of the Yerushalmi, when he couldn't get into the main text, he called Shirayim. That was put at the bottom or in the back of most of our editions, the Shiyure Karban. Wait, exactly what Noam says. It's like this. If you're in the street, there's no difference between a woman who's single and a woman who's married. Take that handkerchief with you, Menachem. Because there's no difference between Shuk and Fifth Avenue, there's no difference whether the woman is single or married. However, if you're in the privacy of your home, then it depends. If you're married, then the hair should be covered. We'll go into details later. And if someone says Krishna, opposite that hair, it's a violation. However, if you're single, and you're, one second, if you're single and you're home, then you need not cover the hair. And if your father says Krishna, or your brother says Krishna, and the sister or the daughter is right there with her hair uncovered, it would not pose a problem in terms of a squishma, nor would it pose a problem for her in that uncovered hair state in her home. That's what the Shiure Karban says, the back of the Yerushalmi, and I'll miss it. Give a look, you'll see. Long your Mechana to an Adam Gozer. Do you have any sisters? You do. You began? Yeah? You better bring a handkerchief too. Yes? What's the question? No. So that's what he's saying, in effect. Midah writes as far as we call the Das Moshe, which is only Bashuk, we'll see soon, that there's no difference in single and married. The Torah makes no distinction. Benos Yisrael, Menachem's right, Benos Yisrael, Bas Yisrael, same thing. Only in the privacy of the home is there a distinction, and that's what's reflected in the Orachayim. Don't forget, people don't say Krishna on Fifth Avenue. It's in the synagogue, but not on Fifth Avenue. So that's better than in the privacy of your home. That's where the distinction of single versus married is found in Tachin Shulchan Aruch at Aruch Chaim Siman Ayin Hey. That's a Shirei Karvin's answer. Wow. What? I didn't get to the Magen Avraham yet. Five chapters.
No, no, but...
1 second, we'll get to the Magen Avraham. Shirei Karvin? And what do you want from the Shirei Karvin? The Rambam says so. The Shulchan Aruch says so. That woman should not go bashuk with her hair uncovered. And if you think, Rabbi Otai, yes, I have too many hands here up before me to continue my sentence. Yes, though. But in Aruch Avinu, in Aruch Ayin, Simon, even to the Mamma Kaim, Simon Ayin Hay, Sim Bay, towards the bottom, it's true. Okay, have a whole day for tomorrow's year. Seya shel Isha shedark al chasoso usur likros kinegdo. Avo betulo shedark al elech kuros rosh, mutter. You see the parish of the Tulos go through it, right? And the Machaber says in our Avinezer, Lo telach the benos Yisrael, through it, Rosh Bashuk, achas tzniya, achas eshetish. The resolution is simple. That's Bashuk, and it's in the house. It's all about it. Christmas in the house. Here, I'm saying something. It's still Christmas, that is done. Could be. Some say that. That's right. Another theory. Both suggest the woman can't go with her hair uncovered anywhere. Not in the house, not in the street, nowhere. But if the man is saying the krishma opposite the woman's hair, there is a distinction between the street and the house. That's very difficult logically. Because that's part of the problem. But no. But the bigger problem with what you're saying, though, is that what's the difference between the house and the street? According to what Noam says, we feel like this. Even as far as the woman is concerned, we draw distinctions in the house and the street, which we'll be able to defend later on. According to what Dove says, as far as she's concerned, there's no difference to single, married, house, street, it's all the same. It's only as far as an onlooking man is concerned. Now why is there a difference between an onlooking man watching a single girl violate the halacha in the street or violate the halacha in the house?
No, she says,
I misunderstood you. She says, don't say like this. There's no difference at all between the house and the street whatsoever. The flower now. But if it's a single girl, then although she's in violation, house and street, but he's not so distracted when he sees her hair because she's single, and therefore he may recite the Shema. If she's married, then he'll be more distracted. What do you say, Noam? Noam suggests by a smile that one might suggest the opposite. If she's married, he's married. I mean, come on. To get her, you have to go through a lot of difficult things. She's single, but then, you know, single.
What do we mean by...
You can say they both can be a problem. Well, I'm going to say that neither is a problem. But we'll come to all this later. We're going to have some radical statements in this studio. These tapes have to be watched very carefully. They're not to go out, these tapes, okay?
What do you mean by in your own house? I mean,
we'll come to that later. We'll come to all this later. Patience is a virtue. We have to discuss all these matters slowly. Yes? Maybe that's strong. Oh, Jude has an amazing shot. They're all doing the Isser, the single girls. I mentioned the second Dover thing, in fact. They're doing it the Isser, but after Pekin, it does not impact upon Krishna. And if the marriage will go to the Isser, and I'll be dark on the cock. To violate the Isser. Marriage girls not to violate the Isser. The women girls, no one should do different. You're saying that it's also for married women, also for single women. Married women, in fact, kept the halacha. Single women didn't. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch tells you that single women don't keep the halacha, although they're in violation, it's not impact upon Krishna. That's a very, very good shot. That's right. David says it's reminiscent of which shot? Of the famous, world-renowned, famous, internationally acclaimed and criticized Aruch HaShulchan. But Aruch HaShulchan says in Siman Ayin Hey that if Lithuania where the women who are married also didn't cover their hair. Rav on the same who are rabbins, who don't have anything. Then halacha would be, although she's in violation for not keeping her hair covered, if you recite the Shema and she has her hair uncovered, you're not in violation. So according to what Judah said, all the Rosh Hashanah did was he's probably part of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is saying the same thing, that a single girl's also not permitted to go with the hair uncovered. Yet, if it's Daka Bakar, Krishna's alright. So if the violation is sent to marry women, so that the Krishna, by definition, it'll be alright as far as Krishna is concerned. That's a very remarkable interpretation there. We'll get to that later also. We're not going to read, we're just trying to get the data. We're gathering a database so far. We'll try to come to a little bit later. There's a difference. It's somewhat different than what the over there. Okay. We never got to the Mogan Avraham. So how many answers do we have so far to answer this theory? How many, what's the theory? And I've been asking the Mechaber to say, Achas Tanuya. It's also the goal of the Shukkuah throat. And our Rakhayim, he said, what did he say? We read this now. What did he say? Our Mesula Shadak and Leila Kuruah Rosh is Mutter to say Shema. So how many answers do we have? One is Norman, the Shirei Karban, say that it's Mutter for her to go Kuruah Rosh only in the house, but in the Shukkuah Prohibit. As you see, never has a beautiful text. Judah says, no, it's also for her all over the place. But since the Sulos had a custom to go to the Vali theater, so therefore there's no problem as far as Krishna is concerned. And Anna Panamuli suggested that David said if there are children to be just an extension of that. If all the mad women go like a theater, so wouldn't apply either the prohibition of Krishna. That's what Judas said to resolve the conflict with Shulchan Aruch. The Mogan Avraham, who comes before Noam and before Judah, has a third shot. A very original challenge, and again, it's amazing how the difference is in terms of the reaction of the Akronim. Some say it's Yosef Hu Shalom Timo. This is 100% correct. And most say it's off the wall. It's simply absolutely incorrect. What he says is as follows, that the word Teruah means two different things. One means uncovered. And Teruah means wild. And how does it say in Pesach and Parashat Kisisa? Vayah Moshe Sa'am Ki Faruahu. For Ruah means the hour the people went wild. Even in today's modern Hebrew, it's used sometimes in that context. Hit paru, they went wild. Oh, that's a different term. That's an hour. Is this better? Rosh Sholo Yitro. No, that's a different story. I don't know what that means either. Oh, so the Mogan Avraham, aside from being uncovered, is a second meaning. Parah is wild. Paru is wild. What does wild mean to Mogan Avraham? How do you define wild? One person's wild, next person's gorgeous, next person's tame. So the Mogan Avraham says that the single girls are required to fulfill one level of the Isa Paruah, which means not to let the hair fall loose. But rather, the hair should be, as someone just said before, braid and a bun, so much to be held in tight. Shouldn't just let you let the floor out loose. Shouldn't dangle. Is that the right word? Okay. Shouldn't dangle. I guess if I'm not sure if the mother of Rob requires dafka. It should be in a braid. Maybe I know there are other people who is although they reject the mother of Rob. I don't know anybody follows the mother of Rob. I never saw any place where man sure I'm right. That's right. All of them have braided. Right, all braided. They follow the Mogan Avraham from it too. Mogan Avraham, of course. What? You say? Okay, I'm wondering if that opinion is satisfied by keeping the hair just short. Nothing dangles. It's just, stops over here.
There's nothing to put up.
What? They're greater. I'm saying they have it long and greater. I'm wondering if there's an alternative to that, which is plain but short. So I think there are some places they have a custom, they don't braid their hair. They want to keep it, natural. But they don't grow it long as single girls. They view that as another path. They take the Mogan Avraham instead of braiding it as being long, they keep it somewhat short. It doesn't dangle. It doesn't dangle at all. Just, you know, the hair is cut around. Cut! We call it short haircut. Is that the muck of why they share them when they're married? No. Because there's an alternative to that, which is to cover it. But they anyway cover their head. Once they shave it off, it's better for you to cover their head. But why they shave their head, there are three reasons. Three reasons. More than an ultra apostrophe here. That's simple. One is, that's right, to make sure they cover the hair. Or they don't say it that way, as you are joking about it. But they say it in a different way. She has regular hair. We're afraid that some of it may by accident, become revealed. Even if she's wearing a hat, it'll somehow shape. Well, some people stick out. They don't go for the tefillin story at all. We'll get to that later. The Van Mappel, even on one, that's one reason. Second reason, which is what Nisano said, they're afraid of chatzitza when they go to the mikvah.
I mean, they shave everything?
Yeah.
Everything. There's no hair. I mean, the whole body is free of hair?
No, I didn't say that.
What else they do,
I can't. No one's ever told me and showed me. I have no idea. But the point of it is that if there's hair, it's true. Hair is a very serious problem for people. Because the hair gets knotted and it could cause a chatzitza problem, something gets stuck on the hair. That's reason number two. Reason number three is David's reason. A much worse problem with chatzitza. We're afraid, chas v'shalom, chalila, one hair will float above the waterline in the mikvah. That's all you need. One hair, and it's a three-letter result. Courage. True? Courage. A person. Makes the lady always watch it. But you know, one hair is not a reason to see. She has 1,000 hairs on her head. 999 go under the water, and one hair sticks up. The big lady looks. So I didn't just tell her, Malachi has show it. If you want to avoid courage, shave it off. What? Shemot is ganel ba'alo. Well, that depends who the ba'alo. I would say differently, Nisana. If the ba'al is somebody from the community, his mother went that way, and his brother went that way, and his sister went that way, so he fully expects his wife to go that way. If his wife would grow hair, he'd just gone all ba'al. Well, you know, when you get married, you're supposed to cut off your hair. Why do we think a person with a nose that is yay long is ugly? Because your nose is not that long. Everyone has a nose that long, so what's the ugly either? You have two eyes, three eyes. Yeah. Everyone has three eyes. You have two eyes that would be good. But just, you know, when we consider cousins, there's no way. That's a good question. It never came up before the marriage somehow. So, the question in discussion says, I think it happened the other way also, right? He wants to shave it off. She says no way. I can see that's a bigger part. Yeah. Wow. Now, can't you go to me wrong? I guess I could.
Well, I might not like my collar. I really just want to get the shave off your head.
You can throw it around.
She calls tonight.
And I hear a woman fainting on the other side of the phone. I don't know who it is. So that, those are the three reasons why the custom came up in certain parts of Europe. And they say it's tremendous trend. If you don't do it, you're a scherim, and it's a minika notion, these cousins to know from generation to generation. But you thereby, they're right. That's the custom. You got to keep the custom. But, of course, that's another question. I've brought Moshe as a tshuva. I don't have our Moshe in front of me. I don't have an English bunch of olives here. What was on the desk last week?
Right.
No. Yeah, here it's right here. Thank you. This is the case. An Evan has an olive. Oh, here it is. Simon and Tess. It's not in the Bible problem. I thought it was a little bit rough. A woman here. The woman had a custom to shave off her hair. And the husband, I got it right. And the husband said no. And the husband is mocked, he shouldn't shave off her hair. Mahadin. What's the din? Says Rav Moshe, the bottom line, it's prohibited for her to shave off her hair. Because she goes to her husband, she's just going into his house, right? That's what it means. And therefore she has to follow his custom. The end. Shuvah written top Shin Yud Zayin. 57, a lot of years ago. From Eichenstein, who was the chief rabbi of St. Louis. Not in the Marvel Cup. Nuntes. Kelly Gallup Sim and Nuntes. I have to see Nunzain and Nuntes. I stopped short of this. I felt that this was a little bit too much for us to go into. Sim and Nuntes. Okay. Good, so that's the mother of Rome, is the way to resolve the problem.
No, and then married women.
Married, you cover their hair, correct. So put their hair against the mother of they hate the faces. Where'd you get it from? The word for room means two different things. I want you to know that I once saw years ago, guess what thing? Two definitions. Right, that's a good question. Yes, exactly like that. That's it. So I started answering this fun story. Many years ago, I was trying to dig it up somewhere in the library. I believe it was... No, excuse me. That's Das Yehudit. That's Das Yehudit, what we call the Noag Ubenot Yisrael. I forgot the Lok Siva. I'm talking about the Siva. The part what Torah means. How do you know what Torah means? And he shall uncover. Maybe Torah means he shall dishevel. Is that the best word for you?
Yes.
It will dishevel her braided hair, but it was never covered. How do you know that Melvin Abraham is the first child, not the only child? So how do you know? From a source in Gemara, Mishnah, Yerushalmi, Medrash, Sefer, some early source. anybody? Okay, so I heard the right to the moment I wrote. To the first cut and the first cut only. Well, I only had one tour, but I can pick up. No. It's called the Torah. And my sword is just to pray. To pray, of course, and it goes back to the earliest, the Medrash Halacha. And it's to pray, and that's also, because it's very interesting. As the also apostle quotes, I'm not a bucky in over to pray, but I looked it up in my Malbim, and it says it there. It says, Upara Kosha Isha, Afalpish and Ryle is over the Bikan of the Nosa Scroll. I don't have it in front of me, but Kakas is Rosh, no, she's on the home school Rosh. The Afalpish and Ryle is over Zechel is over. So there's no absolute proof, but they have to cover the go with the hair covered. This is Zechel is over. What's the Zechel is over? They call the Pulpit in Zephyr Shmuel. No? What's the same as Shmuel in relation to this? I believe it's a, I believe. No, it's not going to be, but I can't do it. Dovah's song, yeah. Absalom? That's a great story, but nothing to do with this. Absalom was not the only prophet someone else had with his children. Tin.
Oh, Tamar.
Tamar, and what's the other guy's name?
Amnon.
We know what happened over there. It was very not nice. But what does it say in the puzzle? After this terrible incident, how did Tamar, what did Tamar do?
She took Priya and uncovered for it was Parah as Russia. Something like that,
wasn't it? Not true. If I'm not mistaken, this is the part that I don't know if more there. But after this, after she became a Bu'ula, so she covered her hair. She put, she put some kind of covering on top of her hair. After Zechel Adavah, this Tifrei says, to the idea of the Nosu Shroel going with the hair covered as opposed to Perua. So it's quite clear from that context, but the Chasa, I believe it says there, that the definition of Perua is uncovered as opposed to the shepherd. So the Tifrei, by linking these two together, seems to be saying clearly that the definition of Perua is uncovered, which is the classical definition as opposed to the Mogen Avraham definition. So that's the only source that I saw, among earlier sources, which proved conclusively that a woman who's married is required to cover her hair, not just to braid her hair.
According to that, then, if that's the Zechel Adavah, so does that mean that not only married women, but also Perua?
That's the next question. If that's the case, then even a woman who is single, but Perua, should be required to cover her hair. And that stuff is very, very interesting. In the 1 minute, that could be, by the way, it's only a Zechel Adavah, some say. Because she wasn't fully married, she was Perua. Others say that it's true, in economic terms. Then a Bu'ula, in fact, must cover her hair, even though she's single. As a matter of fact, I have two sources that I answered to Uri with Tanakh, which you should get to me, and they both speak about this question. The Piskei Tshuva, I have to look at the subsequent question. So the Ma'amakam, Simon Chalfalos and Beit, I told you, look at there, please look at the Piskei Tshuva, to talk about this question at some length. We'll get to that, I probably will, later on. Try both sides. Sure. If a Bu'ula who's single has to cover her hair, certainly an Almana, who is a Bu'ula and she was once married, must certainly cover her hair. For sure. For sure. It's not in the preliminary. Yama, an upset. Wow. I guess you're going to be wrong. I guess
I
should.
Well, I might not have to my house. I really deserve you to shave off your head.
You can throw me around.
She falls tonight.
And I hear a woman's painting the other side of the phone. I don't know who it is. So that's those are the three reasons why the custom came up in certain parts of Europe. And they say it's tremendous trend if you don't do it during Kerem, and it's a minika notion, these cosmic dinar from generation to generation. But you thereby, they're right, that's the custom. You gotta keep the custom. But of course, that's another question. I brought Moshe as a tshuva. I don't have our Moshe in front of me. I don't have an English bunch of olives here. What's the desk last week? No. Yeah, here it is, right here. Thank you. This is the case. An Evan has an olive. Oh, no. Oh, maybe it's not. Oh, here it is. Simon and Tess. It's not in the Bible problem. I thought it was a problem. A woman here. The woman had a custom to shave off her hair. And the husband, I got it right. And the husband said no. And the husband is mocked because she shouldn't shave off her hair. Mahadin. What's the din? Says Rav Moshe, the bottom line, it's prohibited for her to shave off her hair. Because she goes to her husband, she's considered going into his house, right? That's what it means. And therefore she has to follow his custom. The end. Shuvah written top Shin Yud Zayin, 57, so a lot of years ago. From Eichenstein, who was the chief rabbi of St. Louis. Not in the Marvel Cup. Nuntet? Nuntet. Kelly Gallup Simon Nuntet. I asked you to see Nun Zayin and Nuntet. I stopped short of this. I felt that it was a little bit too much for us to go into. Simon Nuntet. Okay. Good, that's the mother of wrong is the way to resolve the problem.
No, and then married women.
Married, you cover the hair, correct. So of course they ask against the mother of they hate the places. Where'd you get it from? The word for rule means two different things. I want you to know that I once saw years ago, you have something? Two definitions. Right, that's a question. Yes, exactly like that. That's it. So I once saw, I started answering this fun story, many years ago, I was trying to dig it up somewhere in the library. I believe it was somebody wrote in German, if I'm not mistaken. He was one of the rabbis Kalaba, if I'm not mistaken, goes back many years, a relative of the Mashiach from Tangleton and of the singer from the West Side. So he writes in German, I believe, and it was translated a little bit to Hebrew, that there was one person who said, look, the Mavan Avram is right, that that's what it means, Kurua means shouldn't be wild. Well, that's the only definition. How do you know the second definition? He wanted a pastime, there's no obligation for a madam to cover her hair. All they have to do is to keep it braided or closed, as the case may be. Rabbi X, I don't know who it is. I went over great. So this Rabbi Kalaba, I'm not mistaken, it was him, maybe I'm wrong, had have a lengthy explanation as to proving that this is incorrect. I'm not sure, I already totally forgot what he said. I only had, so how do you prove him wrong? I'm talking about now from sources of Chazal, not Rishon. Rishon is clear that it's wrong. It's absolutely clear that it's wrong. Rishon. How can you tell from the Gemara itself, or other sources of Chazal, before Avin Ravashi, that if a woman to go with her hair braided and uncovered when she's married is in fact prohibited. Who says that? That's right. That's explained. Upara means the hair was braided and they made it wild. Upara means the hair was cutting about and I brought by that. They made it wild. What do I mean for this? No, excuse me. That's Das Yehudis. That's Das Yehudis, what we call the Noah Gubanos Yisrael. I forgot the Lok Siva. I'm talking about as far as Siva. As far as what Upara means. How do you know what Upara means? And he shall uncover. Maybe Upara means he shall dishevel. Is that right, the best word to use?
Yes.
It was dishevel or braided hair, but it was never covered. How do you know the Noah Gubanos Yisrael? Gemara, the first pshat is not the only pshat. Now, how do you know? From a source in Gemara, Mishnah, Yerushalmi, Medrash, Sefer, Sefrei, some early source. Knew anybody? Okay, Sefer, Aaron is a liar to the Rambam and Avraham. To the first pshat and the first pshat only. Well, I only had one source that I can pick up. No. As far as the Torah. And my source is the Sefrei. Sefrei, of course, goes back to the earliest Medrash Halacha. And it's Sefrei and that person, because it's very interesting. The Ultra Apostle poster, not a Bucky in all the Sefrei, but I looked it up in my Malbim, and it says it there. It says, Upara Kosha Isha, Afalpish and Ryle is over, the Bikan of the Nosa Scroll, I don't have it in front of me, the Makasa Scroll, the Nosa Scroll, the Nosa Scroll, the Nosa the Afalpish and Ryle is over, Zechel is over. So there's no absolute proof, but they have to cover, they go with the hair covered, there's a Zechel is over. What's the Zechel is over? They call it a pulpit in Zephyr Shmuel. No? What's the same as Shmuel in relation to this? I believe. No, it's not going to be, but I really can't do it. Double time, yeah. Ashkelon? That's a great story, but nothing to do with this. Ashkelon was not the only promise someone about to have with his children. Tin.
Oh, Tamar.
Tamar, and what's the other guy's name?
Amnon.
We know what happened over there. It was very not nice. But what does it say? What does it say in the puzzle? After this terrible incident, how did Tamar? What did Tamar do?
She took Rian uncovered for it was Parah as Russia. Something like that.
Well, not true. If I'm not mistaken, this is the puzzle. I don't know if there's more there. But after this, after she became a Bahula, so she covered her hair. She put she put some kind of covering on top of her hair. That's a Zechel HaDavar, this Sifrei says, to the idea of the Nosa Yisrael going with the hair covered as opposed to Perua. So it's quite clear from that context, but the Chasa, I believe it says there, that the definition of Perua is uncovered as opposed to the Shepherd. So the Sifrei, by linking these two together, seems to be saying clearly that the definition of Perua is uncovered, which is the classical definition as opposed to the Mogen Avraham definition. So that's the only source that I saw, among earliest sources, to prove conclusively that a woman who's married and was required to cover her hair, not just to braid her hair.
According to that, then, if that's the Zechel HaDavar, so does that mean that not only married women, but also people?
That's the next question. If that's the case, then even a woman who is single, but Beula, should be required to cover her hair. And that's something very, very interesting. In the 1 minute, that could be, by the way, it's only a Zechel HaDavar, some say. Because she wasn't fully married, she was a Beula. Others say that it's true, in a tsunami, then a Beula, in fact, must cover her hair, even though she's single. As a matter of fact, I have two sources I asked you to agree with Tana to get to me, and they both speak about this question. The Piskei Tshuva has to look at the question. So the Mamma comes. Simon Chalfaros is bait, I told you, look at there, please look at the Piskei Tshuva. Talk about this question at some length. We'll get to that, I probably will, but later on. Try both sides. Oh, for sure. If a Beula who's single has to cover her hair, certainly an Almana, who is a Beula and she was once married, must certainly cover her hair. For sure. Okay, it's not in a film, it's only a story, it's not a halacha. That's right, it's a story. Rabotai. We mentioned before, please. There were two days in Rashi from the first. It's the truth of the matter that Pashat Kat and Ramana Shulchan Aruch, it boggles the mind. Ramana says, Tanuya, just in a Tanuya means only a very small percentage of Tanuya, who are divorced, widowed, or how does it live with a man. The simple meaning of the word Tanuya is that of Tanuya. That Tanuya means as opposed to Eishes Ish. Well, Achas Tzuya, the Achas Eishes Ish. That's the contrast of Rambam.
We're assuming already non-Metula. Tzuya or Eishes Ish.
Never said that. Never said she was not the school of the pressure. Right. Okay. Right. Pressure tried up there. She's not married. Never was married. Pressure tried against the classical authority. But then you're left with. But if you don't like, listen, Rabbi, let's be honest over here. If you don't like the terrace of the Golden Avraham, and you don't like the terrace of the Beis Shmuel, and you don't like the terrace of the Shirei Korban. And all the parents of the earth will be called the Aruch HaShulchan and others. So what are you left with? The simple answer. I think it's a simple answer. It doesn't help the Yosef Kara much, but it certainly helps the Rambam, and it helps the others, Rashi, and the Tosus. My argument is when you can't bridge the gap, just admit. And say what? And say what? Samach love, what they return? If it's a mitzvah, the only not more than one fifth of your money must be forfeit to for the mitzvah. If, however, it's an Aveira, a person must give up all of his or her money rather than violate an Aveira. So here's an actual practical case that Moshe had. There was a woman who was told that if you cover your hair, you lose your job. You'll be fired. And she came to her Moshe. May I uncover my hair in order to secure a job? So Moshe will have to pen. Here goes the first shot in Rashi. The answer is no. Because it's an Isser, and you can't violate it even if it means losing a job. If the second shot is Rashi, then the answer is yes. Because he is losing more than the fifth. He's losing your whole parnas. So Moshe, I'm really afraid to give an answer. 2 days in Rashi. And even though Rashi says the second day is equal, but take a chance at this. But here's the punchline. The woman was a widow. Was an almana. She wasn't a married woman. Rav Moshe says, if would she be married with an Indian of a Doraisa, I would be hesitant to pass the Kula, because maybe it's a question of a fake Doraisa. However, since the whole stakes are lower, the only problem is a problem on a level of a Dirabona, because the Almona is only Dirabona. I therefore permit you, the widow, to uncover your hair to get a job to the sake of the Rabbana Lakula. Nothing. Nothing. Well, the question was supposed to be, why couldn't she wear a shaper? I guess in those days, either they could tell with the shaper, and therefore they would fire for wearing a shaper. Well, they weren't any shapers. I don't know the details. Back 40 years in Shiloh. It was hard to get a shaver, but not today. We'll get to that later. I'm not very happy with some of these fancy shavers. I'll explain to you why as we go. Very unhappy. But we'll be patient. Patient. I saw Bavadja in the... where is it? I know where Bavadja is. I don't know where Abu is. And the Abia Omer in... Chelik Dalit, Simin Gimel, Sifkot Dalit. He understood Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe is a Simin Zion, as you can see. So Issa Lo Satay. So the first day holds a Lo Satay, and the second day holds an Atay. A Chiyuv Atay. So Rav Avadi says, what kind of Lo Satay? Where's your Lo Satay? He doesn't see what was that one between 365 Lo Satay. So look at Rav Moshe. He doesn't say it's a Lo Satay. He said it's an Isser. Not every Isser is one of the 365. I don't know. But then the question is, it really an Isser though? So Rashi is something to say it's really an Isser. He used the word Usser. But if you look carefully, I'm not even convinced, I have to tell you the truth, that the first thing Rashi holds is really Usser. What are Rashi? Let's read the Rashi again. V'nabdina lahaki l'navla mida k'nega mida k'moro sh'asasa l'isna'ot al-bola. Miflal the Usser. So the word Usser seems to be without any doubt. However, if someone can think in this room to produce me a Chumash in Rashi, you'll see that it's not so clear that this word Usser really means Usser. No, as a matter of fact, it's by Midrash. Isn't there a Chumash Rashi in the back? We should have a Chumash Rashi in this room. We have so many problems, we should have a Chumash in Rashi over here. No? Chumash, and I'll tell you now what he says. We'll read it and start from the text. There's when Dov brings it in. And the Chumash and Rashi, Rashi says over there, there's a quotation from the Rashi. I just wanted to read it from the original source. Rashi says as follows. Rashi says, Upara, Kidei Levazosa. Right? Kidei Levazosa. Rashi Chumash. On the public Upara. Which is Levazosa, the rough translation of what? No, of what word in Hebrew which Rashi uses over here? No. What word in Rashi uses in the first line is similar to the word Levazosa? Linavla, right? Those two are very similar. Right? Very similar. So Rashi then, you don't have to necessarily do, then perhaps us doesn't really mean us. All we can suggest, no reconciliation. There's three problems in Rashi. Two in the Sefer Ketubos and a different one, a third one, a Chumash. That I'm not sure about. Right. Now you kiss your sister, next week you kiss your girlfriend. That's what basically he's saying. The old excuse, you know, the Rosh Yeshiva sees the boy, what are you doing? I kiss how many sisters people have in walking the streets of your life? My sister. That's the point where I have two sons and a daughter in Yerushalayim. And it's a problem, because they have a real sister there, but people don't believe it, you know, so it's a problem. You know?
His sons and daughter have a lot of life.
It's true. They have a physical resemblance that's good. But still, you know, I just be careful. Anyway.
Yeah, but
no, Lama says no. What do I say? I remember when I came home from Eretz Yisrael, and I always have a sister. So I came home from Eretz Yisrael. So my sister says, I came up from the airport. I said, so I said, what is this? Where? What? I pulled out the Rambam, and I showed it with other Maguna. So for years, that was a running joke. Maguna. I would say if a person is attacked by his aunt, that's a different story. You know, that's
doesn't have to use mace.
No mace. No mace would be an inappropriate response. Happens. I mean, you know, I remember my mother's sister, and you know, and we'd walk into her house, we'd walk into our house, and it was always, you know, we try to avoid it, and squirm, and pass it. But, you know, we try to avoid it, but I don't think I have to use it as mace. But certainly to be, what we call, what's the word today? Contraindicated. Okay, try very hard to avoid it. Right. Yeah.
Why should
my
question just more or less
not
what
should be
but
general?
Yeah,
normally not. Now, let's get down to the heart of matters. We're going to come to the real controversy. The real controversy. When it says Doraita, does it really mean Doraita? I mean, is it possible that there are large numbers of otherwise observant Jewish women who are buying the rights all the time? Mine. And that's the main answer to the question. The main answer to the question of the Mogan Avraham, I didn't get an answer yet. Oh my gosh. They're both done. Back up. Remember, I'm here just to back up. Back up. We have a sphere of it. Sphere within the two macabres. So how do you answer without the sphere? So how many answers we have so far?
Three.
Bure Carbon and Noah. Right. Then we had Judah, which is what? Al-Dera Baruch HaShul. Some are going to say as well. Then we had the Mogan Avraham. But there are at least two other answers. And the first is, I'm just reminding them right now, was given by the classical Mepharshim, and Ebenezer gives this answer. This is the Kelpas Mechoke, the Beit Shmuel, the Double Merivava, the Das, the Prisha, all the classical Mepharshim say that when the Rambam said the word Tanuya, he didn't mean a single girl who was never married, was a Besula. Oh no. He meant a Tanuya, either who was once married, an Almana or Grusha, or perhaps even a Bu'ula was never married. That's what the word Tanuya means in the Rambam. It's the classical terrace of the classical Mepharshim. It's the truth of the matter that Pasuk Tzat and Ramah Shulchan Aruch, it boggles the mind. Ramah says, Tanuya, just think that Tanuya means only a very small percentage of Tanuya. He didn't look carefully. He didn't seem to understand what Ramah was saying. He seems to say, it's not an issue I say, it's a Kiyum I say. It's a Kiyum I say. Of course, without Torah, it's somewhat difficult, but that's what Ramah seems to be saying. And a Kiyum I say, or even a Kiyum I say, you don't have to spend more than 1% of your money. Oh, Shuma Sadeshin. Shuma Sadeshin says an expression of all time. He says, if Shuma Simon Yud, I'm not sure if we have it in the basement. The very beginning, first two lines. We bring it in if you can tomorrow. He says, talking about covering the hair, he says there is this, can I get it's a direct quotation, there is a quote, Mach Min HaTorah. There's a smart min ha-Torah to cover the woman is mad to cover her hair, it says Torah at Rosh Hashanah. What does smart min ha-Torah mean? I kind of an asmachta. Smachta is the short of the word asmachta. You get the clear impression that it's an asmachta. How so? I have to prepare an asmachta. So I thought he must learn the second shot in Rashi. And the second shot in Rashi maintains that as we said, it's a minute. Ain't Zerach Benos Yisrael up through a throat. So the Ramayshid means in that day, Tumas Sadeshim means in that mouth. So yeah, you're speaking the fact that the Torah phrased itself this way. So it is a basis to you. The Rambam says that if you have to cover it, you'll say, it doesn't mean it, it means braided, it means after she is already been married one time, etc. No. You look at the day Kemet, not the camp. Today, Kemet has a thing called Asifat Adinim. And he has the letter Dalit, very first page, and Marechat Adalit, something that's Moshe Yehudit. He records a custom in many Sephardic communities that women, when they were single, would cover their hair. Single women covered their hair. Sephardic community. Single women covered their hair. And there's no doubt in my mind that it was the influence of the Rambam, which is felt 600 years after his time, that the Rambam had this custom. Undoubtedly, the Rambam recorded the custom which existed in his day. A single woman covered the hair, and that was their custom, the custom of the Spartans. The Ashkenazim, by contrast, the Bali HaTosis, they were explicitly not that way. A single woman do not cover the hair. And therefore, it seems to me that it simply was a makhlok with Sirin Shonen. Did single women cover their hair or not? Some said yes, and some said no. That's my answer. But of course, it happens to Mechabin. Mechabin is stuck in a spirit. Mechabin didn't realize that there's a spirit between, according to my only entrance for the Rambam and Tosin, said so there was a muffalo. But so I'm not answering anything for the Mechabin. That's my problem. That's the default of my interpretation. One could say as follows, that the obligation for a single woman to cover her hair, which the Rambam records, which Tosin disputes, is an obligation, what we call, listen very carefully now, Das Yehudit. That was the custom. As recorded in the statement, hundreds of years later, was maintained that single women covered the hair. And if that's the case, then it's Das Yehudit. Here's a major yesod of this. It's going to be the major yesod of these weeks' shiurim. Das Yehudit can change. Das Yehudit can change. Rabbi Vadya writes so, not in this context. Single woman. Rabbi Vadya talks about the Mogen Avraham. Since the Mogen Avraham says you have to braid your hair. We know it today, usually not done. So Rabbi Vadya writes, that's the Yehudit can change. If the custom is to braid it, then that's binding. If the custom changes, it's no longer binding. No longer binding. You don't have to bind the hair, you don't have to do it to keep the custom. And you can go with your hair unbound, right? Tied dangling loose. Raja, we'll get to that later on in the week. The Rambam seems to say that a woman who's married has to wear two hair covers. Have you ever seen the woman from the Satna community? Always. With a shekel and a hat. No lust, there's no pleasure. Hareza, and here comes three phrases. What is it? Mitzvah, what is it? Hareza what? One, Meguna Biyoseh. Exceedingly disgusting. Medavar Isuru, the prohibited. Umayse Tipshehu. And it's the act of stupid people. They crave in the air of a cloud, they know the Benkana puts me aim the Bnova Ablabito. That's okay. Kiss your mother, that's okay. But your sister is not. But what else you three expressions for? Three separate expressions. The Maguna Biyoser, Dover Osir, and my description. So my interpretation always was that it's not really us. Because if it were really us, in the full sense of the word, no need to say Maguna, no need to say Tipshin, just say it's us. That doesn't say anywhere, a person who's Makal Shabbat is Tipshin, Maguna, he tells you a higher tequila, that's the end. I mean, so what are you saying over here? What are you saying over here? I believe the Bach says so. So I'm wondering, maybe the Rashi over here too, maybe, although I have no proof for it. If you want to reconcile the Rashi of Subotai and Beis in the second and the first shot with his version of this first shot, which he has in the Chumash, if we really desire to reconcile, which we don't have to necessarily do, then perhaps us doesn't really mean us. Or we can suggest no reconciliation. There's three Pesachim in Rashi. Two in the second Subotai and a different one, a third one in Chumash. That I'm not sure about. Right. Now you kiss your sister, next week you kiss your girlfriend. That's what basically he's saying. The old excuse, you know, the Rosh Yeshiva sees the boy, what are you doing? I kissed her. How many sisters people have? He's walking the streets of Yerushalayim. My sister. That's the point. Well, I have two sons and a daughter in Yerushalayim. And it's a problem, because they have a real sister there, but people don't believe it, you know, so it's a problem. You know? They have a physical resemblance that's good. But still, you know, I just be careful. Anyway.
Yeah, but
no, I was just no. They should have an article for them. What do I say? Follow the number. I remember when I came home from Eric's trial, and I always have a sister. So I came home from Eric's trial. So, my sister says, I came up from the airport. I said, So I said, what is this? Where? What? I pulled out the Rambam, and I showed him the other Maguna. So for years, that was a running joke. Maguna. I would say, if a person is attacked by his aunt, that's a different story. You know, that's
doesn't have to use mace.
No mace. No mace would be an inappropriate response. This happens. I mean, you know, I remember I had an aunt or I was telling my mother's sister, and you know, and we'd walk into her house, we'd walk into our house, and it was always, you know, we try to avoid it, and squirm and pass it. But you know, it's part of a way, but I don't think I have to use as we said mate. But certainly to be what we call, what's the word today? Contraindicated. Okay? Try very hard to avoid it. Yeah.
Question about more or less not
but general
Shiloh
Kedarachiba. Yeah. Let's get down to the heart of matters. We're going to come to the real controversy. The real controversy. When it says Doraisa, does it really mean Doraisa? I mean, is it possible that there are large numbers of otherwise observant Jewish women who are buying Doraisa all the time? I mean, the answer is yes, it's possible. Well, witness, lesson, huh? But if there any way to perhaps suggest their cover? No, that's Moshe. It's found in that. Well, that's not the Tana Chumash. Correct.
But the Kikti
Zerachon. In the perspective that it's not an absolute obligation in a Torah, and as a result, there's a possibility of change, perhaps. I want to say clearly, we're saying it's perhaps. We're not passing the Shiloh today. We have to come back tomorrow.
But
and then Tuesday and then Wednesday. But if it's the single day of the Shurim, you cannot say anything in my name. Okay? If you're ready, if it's a day, you can miss everything.
But
yeah?
But the Rambam says, Daf Moshe only by married women? But we were just
doesn't say. Of course, the context of Daf Moshe, by definition, is married women. It's about losing the silver. You're single, you can't lose your silver.
Right.
Okay, so of course it's not context. Okay, Rabbi said we'll have to stop here. We have to march.
When he